For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
My name is Fuad. So Fuad sounds like quad with an F, Fuad. But in America, when you say Fuad, they add an R. So people call the house and say, can we speak with Fraud? I'm like, Fraud is not here, you know? Because, you know, it's a collect call. Fraud wants to talk to you. So it's funny how Arabic names sound different in America. Most Arabic names have a meaning. So Fuad means loving heart. And I became a believer in Lebanon during the war. During the civil war in Lebanon, my best friend Waleed died by a bombing by the Palestinian, by the PLO, so I hated the Palestinian people. And I had cousins, my mom is Syrian, I had cousins who died in the Golan Heights, fighting in Yom Kippur War, so I hated the Jewish people. And my solution for the Middle East was take Jewish people and Palestinian to a desert like Arizona, let them fight there, and whoever wins, give him the piece of land. And I was so hateful to people around me because people would come to fight in Lebanon, not only from Palestinians, we had Syrians, we had Algerians, we had the Red Army of Japan. Yeah, I was a teenager, I had hair, I promise you, I had hair. And I would be walking down the street and there are people, Japanese, looking with, they used, the way you can tell during the war, you look at their shoulder to see what patch they have. They all came to fight in my country. So my heart was very hard. And I decided not to believe in God. But a friend of mine asked me, Fuad, if you die tomorrow, where would you go? And I said to him, I don't believe in God. He said, but it's too late then. Because if God does exist, then you're going to spend eternity in judgment. Whoops, he's right. So I decided to become an agnostic. That's a good word. Agnostic means I don't know. Is there a God? I don't know. Is there a heaven? I don't know. And I lived my life like a little boat being pushed by waves. And I decided if God exists, he should speak. So I started reading different books. And I discovered that Jesus, the way he spoke was different than anyone else. And Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others what you want them to do unto you. Hey, that's a good one for Congress. Love your enemies. Do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good. That's a good one for United Nations. Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what the master is doing. I call you friends. Wow. But this information was in the mind. How did it come to the heart? The Bible says we have to worship God with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our heart. Okay, mind is where your logic is. Mind is your creativity. So you worship God with creating things, with studying. Every time you look at an iPhone, that glorifies God. Somebody used your brain, right? It glorifies God. But then the Bible says we have to worship God with all our heart. What does that mean? Heart is where your will is. You don't tell your wife, I love you from all my mind. She would say, oh, that's cute. No, I love you from all my heart. You're my one and only. So for me, how did the information move from the mind to the heart? During the Lebanese war, we had family friends who had four children. The youngest was two-year-old son. They're eating dinner, and the son spilled milk. So our friend got up from the table, grabbed the boy, went to the bathroom to wash his hands. While he's there, a mortar shell is usually this big, he looked like the blimp, you know, came through the balcony door, exploded in the middle of the table, wife and three kids, pieces on the wall. The man survived with his kid, picked up a plastic bag, picked up the pieces, he buried his whole family in one bag. And that was the trigger for me. That was the trigger for me to move the information about God and Jesus from the mind to the heart. The problem in Lebanon was not weapons. Weapons don't kill people. People kill people. We kill people with sticks and stone and knives and cars, car bombs. Now we have chemical weapons, weapons of mass destruction. The problem is not the weapon. The problem is the human heart. The problem was my heart. I hated Palestinians. I hated Jewish people. I hated people around me. So I went to my room, I closed the door, and I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord Jesus, you came to earth, you raised the dead, and you healed the sick. Forgive me because I hate people. The more there is hate in this country, I want to be a soldier of love. The more there is war in this country, I want to be a soldier of peace. And God changed my heart. I started praying for Palestinians. I started praying for Israelis. I started praying for my Shia neighbors and my Sunni neighbors and my Catholic neighbors. Because when you become a follower of Jesus, when you decide to take Jesus as your Savior, you don't see people, did they vote Republican or Democrat? You don't see people, are they Muslim or Shia or Druze or Catholic? You don't see people by levels. You see them as God's creation. And Jesus told us 2,000 years ago that he has come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The beautiful thing about the faith is Jesus already told us what to do. He said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Not only Muslims, all people. So when people say to me, do you want to help refugees? Yeah, I want to help refugees. We have a team just returned 24 hours ago from Greece working with refugees. So we believe that we are to help people. Now, what happens to us in America, and I'm talking to you as my brothers and sisters, we wait, you know? We vote on Tuesday and everybody waits. Why we wait? Why we wait? The government job is to take care of the people, right? What is the government of the church? What is the role of the church? The role of the church is to share the gospel. So many people, I was in Austin, Texas. I was in Tennessee. I was in California. People were like, wait, you know, what should we do? Well, it doesn't matter what happens in the White House, right? Their job is to take care of the country. That's their job. If they can't do the job, get somebody else. Okay? But my job has already been told to me. So there are two sessions I'm going to give this afternoon. And it's exciting that Xenos always invites me back. That's a good sign. This means they like my English. But two things we want to talk about. One, how the gospel, when we read scripture, we can be able to build bridges. Everybody wants to build walls. We believe as a believer, you build bridges, even if the other person does not agree with me. See, the struggle today is somehow, if you disagree with me, that's bad. No, the whole idea of a freedom is that it's okay to disagree, right? When you enter Starbucks, how many choices you have? Well, I can't tell them everything with caramel, you should throw it away because I don't like caramel. Doesn't matter, you know what I'm saying? You want these options, you want also interactions. Our vision as Crescent Project, this is the ministry that I serve with. Crescent Project believes we have a hope we're sharing with Muslims. So this day is coming here. It's only for women. Sorry, guys, you can't come to this one. But I'll be doing a session in another place just for the men. But on September 29th, 30th, we're going to have a training for Christian women how to minister to Muslim women. Because many times they come from societies with special needs, okay? It happened here in Columbus 2 years ago. I was speaking. A nice lady came up to me and said to me, Fuad, my neighbor is Somali. She saw her dad get shot in Somalia, tied to a bumper of a car, dragged down the street. How can I minister to her? I said, please. Sit down, talk to her. She went through a traumatic experience. So we're going to go through some of the issues that women go through before they come to America or as they're raised as a Muslim woman, so that as Christian women, we can minister to them. Because Jesus told us, I have come that they might have life and have more abundantly. We're doing this because Jesus told us to do this. We're not doing it because somehow Xenos had a conference. Or somebody called me and said, oh, tell Muslims about Jesus. No, Jesus told me when you see someone to tell them about him. Now, you'll find that I tell a lot of jokes while I'm doing training on purpose because the material can be a little bit, as you say in English, tough or new. But one of the jokes I like to tell is how to tell Arabs, because for Americans, we all look alike. So if you see an Arab man with a lot of money, they're from Saudi Arabia. You know that immediately. If they are hardworking, they're from Palestine or Jordan. If they're Arab men who's hardworking, it's impressive. But if they're smart and good looking, they are from Lebanon. Right, Khayyam Muhammad? So that's just for you guys to kind of get just. Hey, sorry, Somalis, we didn't get you in the joke. Okay, now I know some of you have questions. The reason I passed my card, please feel free to email me your questions. Our focus is I want to show you a video clip. We asked some brothers and sisters from Muslim background. We asked them, what is similar between Islam and Christianity? So this was their responses.
Yes, I did have a chance with Christians, and we have a lot of similar beliefs, like the idea of doing good things, heaven, bad things would lead us to wrong her own path would lead us to hell, all those things, and like the idea of God, prophets, and all those factors and the religion. We share the same things, just like different names probably and stuff, but they have the church, we have like the mosque, Trump prays in his own way, but after all, it's praying, that's what matters.
My boyfriend is a Christian, and we have the same beliefs because we both see life in the same way. We both see that being religious, it's about doing good to others. So we never disagreed about the subject. Every religion could have its own ideas, but eventually they are all directed to the same point, which is God, whether it's Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, other religions that are not heavenly, or I don't know what they call it in English, like Buddhism, they are also related to the essence of life and how to help each other. So to me, they're all the same, actually. It's about being a human at the end.
So do you think that there's any differences between Christianity and Islam?
No, I don't.
Well, if you take those little details, away, like I said before, the fact that whether Jesus is the Son of God or not, or just a prophet, there's so many things in common. I've grown up with like many Christian friends of mine, and we never argued about religion, and we get along very well, and if you take Christianity as a way of living and Islam as a way of living, then they interact in like many points, so we never felt like difference or anything like that.
I think that we share many similarities, and these differences because I think me as a Muslim and them as a Christian, because Christianity and Muslim were not at the same time, and you know that the human being developed, and then there is 400 years or more between Christianity and Muslim, so there should be something different between them, but at the end both are similar and everything. I think that one God, God is not a human, is not material, it's a light, it's something that inside us, love, everything is similar.
Yeah, I had lot of interaction because most of my colleagues are Christians, and a lot of them are Hindus as well, and they have their own practices, and I respect their religion as well.
Yeah, I have a lot of Christian friends, and I've been in relationships with Christian people. And so basically, like, in terms of religion, we both agree on the basic, rules that I've been talking about, which is, being good in society. And also, so we have different forms of prayer, but we both pray. We have different forms of fasting, but we both fast. And they're both, towards the same goal, fasting towards, the poor and praying towards God and, whatever. And so I guess those are the similarities that we notice.
And then what would be any of the differences between what you believe and then what Christians believe?
The details. It's all about the details, where Jesus came from, or whether or not he died, or whether or not he was crucified. Just those, tiny things.
Did she say tiny things? See, the reason we want to have this session is many times there are so many similar things between us and Islam, but also there are major differences that are very important. So many times people say, we want to build friendship with Muslims. Yes, but I hope that friendship is going to lead to building bridges. Most of the time people say, we want to be in common ground. Okay, great, but let's move beyond common ground. I have a friend in Indiana, has Saudi friends. Many times you never get to the gospel. They just drink coffee and they're still talking common grounds. You love Jesus. No, we love Jesus. No, let's move to what is different. What is different? I was in Irving, Texas, and I'm visiting this mosque, and this guy comes up with his robe, beard. He says to me, Fuad, are you a Christian? I said, I follow Jesus. He said to me, look, there is a race today between Muslims and Christians. I said, there is? He goes, yeah. The race is who loves Jesus more. I said, okay. He goes, if Jesus comes back, who would look more like Jesus? Me with my robe and my beard, or you with your jeans and shaven? So I said, his name was Abdullah. I said, Abdullah, following Jesus is more than just growing a beard. I mean, I can grow a beard in 3 days. I'm Lebanese. I can make it as tall as Osama bin Laden, you know. But the whole idea is following Jesus is for us different. It's your character, your value system, your salvation. Yes, the outside is important, but you can change the outside but not change the inside. That's why Jesus says if you hate your brother, it's like you've killed him. It's very important that war doesn't happen because somebody woke up in the morning and decided to have war. No, it starts with hate. So the reason I wanted to show this video on purpose, because I wanted to see that today many Muslims are interested to talk about Christ, and many times they have misinformation about us. So what we're going to do for the next few minutes, and I'd love to talk about how to bridge the gospel by starting with similar things. You notice that these guys all started, oh, we have the same thing, worship one God. So we're going to take these things, and then how to use those to build the bridge of the gospel, and then how to take the different things and share the gospel. So yesterday I was on a radio interview. The guy who was interviewing me goes, I was in a taxi cab in Chicago, and my taxi cab driver said to me, why do you Christians worship three gods? And I did not know what to answer. He goes, I'm always afraid to talk about Trinity. I said, no, that was a great question. Always ask Muslims what three gods we worship. Always. When a Muslim tells you you worship three gods, ask them what? 90% of the time would be Christians worship God the Father, Mary the Mother, and Jesus the Son. Hello. They're not even talking about Trinity. They're talking about something way off. And you might say, where do they get this information? Because that's what's mentioned in the Quran. So it's very important to understand that whenever there are differences, let's not panic. These differences are a great way. See, Jesus, our Savior, was a great communicator. He always welcomed questions, right? With some questions, he answered a question. With some questions, he answered with a question. With some questions, he answered with a story. He never even answered the question. He says, who's my neighbor? He told them the Good Samaritan. Wow. You know, it's like the good Republican or the good Democrat, you know, I don't know who you voted for, you know, but it's amazing. It's amazing how Savior, the stories he told, it ministers even 2,000 years later. So always share the gospel by beginning with similarities, but the differences are a great way to share the gospel and build bridges. So number one, God is one. You know, I share the gospel with people all the time, especially students. I was on University of California in Irvine. I met a Hindu. Well, Hindus worship how many gods? 300 million. It took me 20 minutes talking about God to find out he worships Krishna, who's the incarnation of Vishnu. So we started talking about incarnation, the science for incarnation, and I moved the conversation that Jesus proved he was the incarnation because he did things no one else can do. For example, give me a miracle that Jesus did no one else did. He raised the dead. Hello, it's 2017, we can't raise the dead. When there's a flat line, dude, that's it. Bye-bye. Okay, that's one. What else he did that no one else can do? He fed the 5,000. Whoa, with how many loaves? Two fishes, right? Okay, yes, thank you. Another story that Jesus did. Yes, brother. Yes. Oh, and the guy, when he drank, goes, wow, this is good wine. He woke up, you know, he was drunk. Yes, somebody else. What else? Yes, brother. Thank you very much. Wow, he walked in water. So we see that Jesus was different than anyone else. So it's the uniqueness of Christ. That's what I was talking with the Hindu. When you talk to a Muslim, how many gods they worship? One God, great. It saved me at least 20 minutes. We can immediately start. The other thing is the God of Islam, according to Muslims, is the same God of the Christians. Okay, well, let's talk about him. Now, please remember, Allah of the Quran is not the Allah of the Bible. Let me explain this to you. If you want to say Allah is not God, that's semantics. What is God? It's English to mean God of the heavens. Allah is Arabic, so my Arabic Bible uses Allah. The real name of God is Yahweh, right? Moses says, Lord, give me a name, and God gives him Yahweh, which is in Hebrew, I am. I am. What is a verb? Why we got a verb? Moses is saying, God, give me your name. And God gives him, I am. Because in Hebrew tradition, if you can name something, you understand its character and function. This is a bottle. Character and function. This is a screen. Marker, character and function. What did Adam do in Eden? You remember the garden, what God created? He went around and named all creation and then said, Lord, no one is here like me. And God said to him, you're the rough draft. I'm making a masterpiece, right? Right, ladies? Can you see this planet with no ladies? If it's all men, we'll be watching football. Nothing gets done, right? No, just a joke here. But the idea is, when you can name something, you understand its character and function. Okay, how can Moses understand the character of God and the function of God? Can I take the Pacific Ocean and put it in a bottle? So we have not only Yahweh, what other names for God? El Shaddai, El Elyon, Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. These are multiple names to understand the Creator. Allah in Arabic means the only God. So our issue is not the name. If I'm talking to Muslims in Arabic, I use Allah. They want to talk many times, say, we'll use Allah. Okay, we'll use Allah. The issue is not the name. The issue is the character. Is the character of God in the Bible the same like the character of God in the Quran? And it's funny. You know, you watch the news and there'll be a crisis and the reporter will say, you know, our prayers are with you. Really? Okay, what is that, prayers with you? What does that mean? Like they're praying to Jesus to go help them? It's a statement, right? Many times one guy said to me, oh, we pray for the guy upstairs. Really? He's the guy upstairs? Is that how we talk? The issue is not the name. The issue is the character. So when we work with Muslims, we start with similar things. There are 99 beautiful names in Islam. According to the Quran, if you go through the Quran, there's only 104. But Islam likes the number 99 because 9 in Semitic languages is a magical number. 9 times 2 is 8 plus 1, 9 times 3, 7 plus 2 is 9. Go all the way to 81, 9 times 9. So it's a magical number, and you multiply by 11. So they pick 99 names, but the Quran has 104. Some of the names are great. Allahul Bari, God the Creator. Does that agree with the Bible? Yes. Are there Bible verses that can support that? Yes. Beginning, open Genesis, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim et ha-aretz, in Hebrew. When you study Hebrew, you have to memorize the first verse of Genesis. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created, Al-Bari. Basically, 30% of Arabic is Hebrew. Don't tell them that, okay? Arabic is a new language. It's not a language, okay? So Al-Bari. Al-Quddus, that's from Hebrew. Quddus means holy. In Isaiah, when you read the verse in Isaiah, my friend Ali from Saudi Arabia, you read the verse in Isaiah, he said to me, the angel was singing, Quddus, 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 holy, holy, holy. So we can use that. Ar-Rahim, it says God is merciful. Oh, great, let's talk about the mercy of God. How do we see the mercy of God? John chapter 1, verse 7. The law was given through Moses, but mercy, Rahim, and truth was given through Jesus. Oh, so the law can't save me. The mercy of God. God is Al-Malik, Al-Adil, the just. Al-Wadud, the affectionate. So many times when you see a Muslim, many times people think, oh, you know, he's a Muslim, I can't talk to him. No, it's a great opportunity. Great opportunity. Out of the 99 names, there are 3 names we have a problem with. Number 1 is Al-Mumit, which means the source of death. If you study the Bible, God is not the source of death. Death entered because of sin. The other one is Al-Muntaqim, means the avenger. But the third one that's a really problematic, not only for us believers, but even for Muslims, it says Allahul Makir. The Quranic verse says, وَلَا تَمْكَرُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Do not cheat God or do not scheme God because He's the best schemer. So today for us in Islam, we have an issue. Even if I was a good Muslim and you ask me, am I going to heaven? I'll tell you, inshallah. Why? Because even if I was a good Muslim, God can change His mind. While in the Bible, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Now, I'm in Ohio. Every time I'm in Ohio, I have to tell this story. In 1914, my grandfather's name was Isa. He was 18 years old, and the Ottomans ruled Lebanon, and they were drafting Lebanese kids. So his mother sold a couch and some furniture and bought a boat ticket. Beirut, Marseille, Marseille, Ellis Island. He gets to Ellis Island in 1914, and they tell him, go west, young man. So he moves to Toledo, Ohio in 1914. He worked for the Jeep company, which used to be called Willys. I found it on Google. I found a picture of it. And my grandfather, I don't know him. He was 18 years old. He was working. And his friend said to him, would you go to church with me? He said, we'll go to church Sunday evening. So my grandfather, age 18, in Toledo, Ohio, walks to church. And the speaker that night was a Christian pastor, an American Christian pastor, returning from Lebanon. Wow. They didn't have planes. It was all by boat. God is actively involved in this planet. See, we believers think that God is removed. No, 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 no. He is actively involved in everything. That Muslim friend you have, he put it there on purpose. He put her there on purpose. God is actively. My grandfather becomes a believer. He moves back to the Middle East in 1919. Do you know when we struck oil in the Middle East? 1931. Before that, it was nothing. And my grandfather died pastoring a church outside Damascus. The reason I'm sharing this with you, thank you, people in Ohio. Thank you, Americans. You love my grandfather. He took the gospel back home. And his favorite verse was 1 John 1:9. So his firstborn was called Amin. His secondborn was called Adil. Amin is faithful. Adil is just. And they would say, Pastor Masri, why did you call your children Amin and Adil? Who say, every time I call my children, I remember that God is faithful and just to forgive my sins. When you come to Christ, Christ forgives your sin. You are a new creation. You are a new creation. So this is what we can start from God. Now, let's say I'm having coffee and my Muslim friend said to me, you know, we believe God is holy and He's just. He will punish the evildoers. I say, that's true. You know, I think one of the problems we have with politicians today is they think they're not accountable for their words or actions. But the Bible says there is a day coming when everybody, it does not matter how much money you have. It does not matter if you are in a position. Everybody will give a report. So I pray for leaders. I say, Lord, give them humility that they know one day is just. So my Muslim friend, I can talk about this. If my Muslim friend says to me, you know, this war in the Middle East is a mess. Okay, what do I say? Yeah, God is holy and people kill each other and God is going to punish. So you can always start with God's holiness. Second thing, man is sinful. Most Muslims do not believe in the original sin. They believe that once you're born like an empty sheet. And then everybody starts from scratch and you're not responsible for Adam's sin. Okay, the Bible teaches that we are born with a sin nature, meaning we incline to do evil. Now, in the hadith, there is a statement like that, meaning that nafsu ammara bisu, meaning humans tend to go for evil. But the Islamic thought is there is no original sin, everybody's an empty sheet. Well, okay. So I asked my Muslim friend, how are you doing? Do you have sin? He goes, yeah. I have sin, you have sin, okay. Do you know any human having sin? One guy said to me, well, Prophet Muhammad had no sin. I said, no, the Quran twice says that God forgave his sin, twice. He said, see? I said, see what? He goes, see, God forgave his sin. I said, this means he had sin to be forgiven for. The only person in the Quran and the Bible that was sinless is who? Jesus. And the Quran is very powerful there. It says, waladan zakiyan. The word zakiyan comes from the Hebrew root, which means pure. It's powerful. The mention of Jesus, I'll come to it in a minute. But Christ in the Quran is elevated and Muhammad is respected. But when you come to study Islam, you find that Muhammad is elevated and Jesus is respected. Sometimes I wish they read the Quran. Most Muslims today have never read the Quran. Maybe they heard it chanted, read some parts of it, but you wish they sit down and read it, because there's so much that we can talk. I usually avoid starting with the Quran because I want to spend time talking about the Bible. And the second session will be on how to share with your Muslim friend about the Bible. But when we want to talk about sin, always, always, don't be judgmental. And we all make mistakes, but always talk in general terms. Don't say to them, oh, I know you've sinned, you know. Like my friend Jamili, she's a Shia. She became a believer, and she went in her high school and telling people what their mistakes. She goes, oh, I know you steal from your dad's store. And, you know, I'm like, Jamili, let's not do that. You know, it's like, you know, so talk in general terms, like everybody has sinned, everybody has hate. Jesus even said something more. He said, if you look at a woman and lust, you know, commit adultery. So is it okay to say she's beautiful? Yeah. But lusting is going the next step. And I love this because it doesn't matter what the woman is covered. If you're lusting, you're lusting. Even if she has a black blanket walking down the street, if you're lusting, it's in your mind. And Jesus says, if somebody lets your word be yes, and let your word be no. Anything, so it's very powerful for us. So sin is not meeting God's standard, and it's okay to talk about sin, but please don't focus it. And that's not only for Muslim, anybody, you know. You don't want to sit there and talk about personal sins with somebody unless you have the right. The third thing that we can always start talking is Jesus the Messiah. Christ in the Quran is called Al-Masih. Means the promised Messiah. The reason the Gospel of Barnabas, which was written 13 centuries later, the writer says that he is a Muslim. The reason it's wrong because he doesn't quote correctly the Quran. He says that Muhammad was the promised Messiah. Well, that's against the Quran. The Quran clearly says that Jesus was the Messiah. If you're interested, the Quran chapter 4, verse 171, it says the Messiah. Means his fulfillment of the prophecies. Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary. Oh, that's the virgin birth. Is but the apostle, Rasul here. It's very powerful because in Islam there's two words, Rasul and Nabi. Nabi means prophet, Rasul means a messenger. So in Islam they tell you a messenger is higher because he brings a message. Muhammad is a Rasul, Jesus is a Rasul, he brought the Injil. David is a Rasul, he brought the Psalms. Moses is a Rasul, he brought the Torah. So he gives Jesus apostle of God and... Oh, that's a tough word. وَكِلِمَتَهُ And his word, which he cast into Mary and a spirit from him, capitalized, means from God. So this Quranic verse is very good for us. It says that Jesus is the word of God and the spirit of God. Okay, so is he divine? No, he's not divine, but he is the word of God and he's a spirit God and he's not divine. Who existed first, God, his word, or his spirit? Which came first? God came first, this means he was dead of his spirit, and he couldn't do anything, he had no power. So all of them came together, God, his word, and his spirit, and God's word became Jesus. My Iranian friend in California, Hassan, he said to me, once I understood that, because he used to think, why do Christians worship Jesus as a man? I said, we don't worship Jesus as a man, we worship as the word of God. So the beautiful thing is, we have words in the Quran that are good for us. Give you an example. I want to describe this American holiday, and I want you to guess it. I like this holiday because all my family members and friends are there. There's a lot of food, and there's fireworks and watermelon. Yeah. In the beginning, you thought maybe Christmas, right? Maybe Thanksgiving. But when I get to the watermelon part, like, all right, I know... People in Ohio like watermelon, right? So the whole idea is when you're working with a Muslim, you start with the similarities. So it's okay to use words. It's okay to use words that are common to us. Word of God. They don't know what that means, but we can use that. Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Quran. You tell them, who's Ar-Ruh al-Quddus? Who's the Holy Spirit? They don't know. One guy said to me, it's the angel Gabriel. I said, no, he's an angel. He can't be Quddus. He can't be holy. Because the word Quddus is used only for God in Arabic. So, although the Quran agrees that Jesus is the Word of God and the Spirit of God, Islamic leaders teach he was just a man who was never crucified and will return to earth someday. So, because of that, we begin where they are and build a bridge. That's why we have a training called Bridges. In my book, Ambassadors to Muslims, everything I'm saying is there. In the last year, I came out with a book called Connecting with Muslims, also taking questions and using the question to build bridges. So please use those as a way to train others and get equipped. Basic similarities. Also, the holy books. According to the Quran, God sent four messages. Torah of Moses, Psalms of David, Injil of Jesus, and the Quran of Muhammad. According to Islam, all of them must be followed. But the imams say the first one was corrupted, so God sent the second one. The second one was corrupted, so God sent the third one. The third one was corrupted, God sent the Quran. I say, okay, wait, what if the Quran gets corrupted? Say, no, God is very strong. No one can change God's word. What, you messed me up here, just a second. So in the next session, we talk about that. But I was in the University of Toledo. A computer engineer told me, Fuad, if I have the newspaper of today, why do I need the newspaper of yesterday? If I have the newspaper of today, why do I need the newspaper of yesterday? So if I have the Quran, why do I need the others? I said to him, my brother, if you have Windows number 4 and you loaded it on your computer and the blue screen of death showed up and said you must load 1, 2, and 3, you must load them. He said, yeah. I said to him, the Quran says all these books must be followed. My Bible doesn't say I have to read the Quran. I read the Quran. I've read it now 20 times, alhamdulillah, as we say in Arabic. I started now 21 times. I read it because I love Muslims. I love to talk to them. I love to study about Islam and about the culture, Muslim culture. But my Bible doesn't tell me to read the Quran. However, when you read the Quran, it says we must follow. Amanna, qulu amanna. In the next session, I'll give you the verses. Because it's important to understand that when you're asking Muslim to read the Bible, you are not asking to do anything wrong. Many times they say to me, do you want to become Christian? I say, no. I don't want to become Christian. It's not my job. If God wants you to become Christian, you become a Christian. That's between you and God. I am an ambassador. I'm just representing. They don't want to talk about God. It's okay. Let's not talk about God. I have a friend. His name is Nasim. He's like a clam, like this. He had some rough childhood. We meet for coffee. He doesn't want to talk about God. He likes to talk politics. So we talk politics for a little bit. You know, have an ulcer for a little bit, especially about the Middle East. Drink some good coffee and leave. He's my friend. I like him. I pray for him. But he doesn't want to talk about Jesus. So he doesn't want to talk about Jesus. What? Can I call my mommy? So he doesn't want to talk about Jesus. Okay. So relax. You use these bridges to share the good news. It's all right. It's all right. Sometimes we panic, you know. One guy took our training and sent me an email. He goes, Fuad, I gave my Muslim friend the booklet. There's a booklet called Adha and the Injil. He goes, I gave him the Adha and the Injil. He didn't pray and receive Christ. So I sent him an email back. I said, sir, it's not about the booklet. The booklet is to help you communicate, you know. Some people use literature like a grenade. Have you thrown a grenade, you know? You know, I was like, you know, hey, I have my Bible. Here's your Bible. You know, let's get out of here, you know. No, the material is for conversation, you know what I'm saying? So everything I'm giving you is to build the bridges and start talking to them. Okay, how are we doing on time? Are we okay? 15 minutes? Okay, we can do miracles in 15 minutes. Basic prophets. What can we talk to a Muslim friend from the prophets? They believe these are prophets. Now, one of the problems in the Quran is it says Alexander the Great is a prophet. Well, that's another cup of tea. But many of the prophets mentioned, many of them prophets are the same in the Bible. Can I talk about Jesus from Jonah? I'm preaching on Jonah Sunday. Come down to Indianapolis. Can we talk about Jesus from John the Baptist? He's mentioned in the Quran as Yahya. We don't know why he came. Do we know why John the Baptist came? Yeah. What did he come to do? Prepare the way for Jesus. It's amazing. So many times when we're talking to Muslims, there's so much we can stop. Can we talk about Jesus from Abraham? And beautiful. In the Torah, in the Bible, it says that Abraham believed that God can provide a sacrifice. But also, although God asked him to sacrifice, in the Quran it says that God redeemed the son of Abraham بِذَبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ with a great sacrifice. And I have a friend who became a believer because he's a Muslim. He read that, it's like, no, that doesn't make sense. A sheep cannot be عظيم. A sheep cannot be great. It's a sheep. He kept saying, he's talking about something else. So does God use anything? Absolutely. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to share the word of God. That's why the title was, the mightier than a double-edged sword. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When you read these verses, I was driving back to Indiana. I was speaking here in Ohio. That's probably about 7 years ago. It was raining this bad, and my car wasn't doing so well. I parked the car and put some gas in the car, and I got some water or something. While I'm coming out, this car pulls up. Three guys come out. The first guy had a beard without a mustache, and he had a white taqiya, you know, the white beanie, which means he's done pilgrimage. He's been to Hajj, and a beard without a mustache means he's Muslim Brotherhood. He was Palestinian. The second guy came out, very nice, handsome man. Everything was just right. He was Yemeni. The Yemenis are the Italians of the Middle East. Everything should be just right. The third guy came out, he was from Eritrea. He reads Arabic. So he starts pumping gas, and I come to the guy with the head. I say, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. I say, it's my honor to meet you today. My name is Fuad, I'm from Lebanon. So they introduce each other. And the guy goes, no, it's our honor. I said, no, it's my honor. I want to give you a gift. So I brought him the book, the Arabic Injil. I have it in my car. I said, I'd like to give you an Injil, which is Arabic for New Testament. So he took the Injil like this, put it to his chest. He says, oh, we Muslims love Prophet Jesus. Once he said that, the guy, the Eritrean guy pumping gas, I think he felt that was too forward. He stopped pumping gas, came around, pulled the Bible from his hand, and he said, what, the Injil? He opened it and started reading, like trying to make fun of it. But it opened this verse in Arabic. So he starts reading it out loud. When it says, وَكَلِمَ كَانَ اللَّهِ, he starts reading silently, and he goes, can I keep the book? So the Palestinian says, no, that's my book. I said, it's okay, I have another one in the car. So I gave the Palestinian a book, and the Eritrean, the Yemeni, he was the tallest. He goes, well, you gave my friends, I want one too for me. So I gave three Injil just by one person reading this verse out loud. They all students at Indiana University. They don't have a good football team. Don't watch. Basketball. Okay. But the whole idea is, I just saw them at a gas station. It wasn't a church. There was no Ramadan or there was nothing. It was just, hi, can I give you Injil? Always the word of God is mightier than double-edged sword. Now, because of time, what I want to do is I want to share with you a few things. I'll use video clips on how to respond in a way that's respectful. Always, please, my brothers and my sister, I'll say that all the time. Always show respect to Muslims, okay? Jesus wants us to love people. When you love someone, doesn't mean you agree with them, right? Anybody has children here? Okay, you don't have to agree with them, but I can love them and respect them. I can say, hey, I hear what you're saying, and I disagree. You know what I'm saying? What happens to us somehow when people hear me say, you know, we need to love Muslims, like somehow, oh, we're going to agree with everything they say. No. Islam is a problem for me. Islam is a problem. Sharia Islam is a problem for me. But Islam is an issue, but Muslims many times are the victims. You need to see people. Our issue is not the people. Our issue is the teaching. So, the sonship of Christ. Muslims think that Christians believe that Mary had a physical relationship with God, which is blasphemous. Now, this is very blasphemous for us. No Christians teach that. But they teach them that the reason we call Jesus Son of God, because He's half divine and half human. A Senegali girl, I was speaking at a campus gathering, and this Senegali girl said to me, you Christians, I don't want to believe in Christianity because you worship three gods. And when I said to her, what three gods? She goes, God the Father, Mary the Mother, Jesus the Son. So I said, no. We don't believe that Mary had anything to do with the miracle of the birth of Christ. God did the miracle. She goes, well, I believe that too. I said to her, we don't call Jesus Son of God. We call Him the Word of God. She goes, I believe that too. I said to her, is there a difference between God and His Word? She goes, no, there's no difference. I said, so whatever God can do, Jesus can do, because Jesus is the Word of God. And I said to her, because Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, we say He had no human father. She agreed with that. I said, so we say Son of God to give glory to God, because God did the miracle. She goes, well, I believe that too. Once she said that, the lady and the couple who's hosting the students were giving out English Bibles. So I'm standing like this, talking to the Senegalese girl. The couple said, would you like to take a Bible? The Senegalese girl said, no. Once she said no, there was a hand behind me. There was an Iranian girl with a hijab, watch, listening. She goes, I want one. So the lady gave the Iranian a Bible. Once the Iranian took a Bible, the Senegalese girl said, I'll take one. She said, no, because there was somebody watching. So many times we look at this, this is not what we believe. No Christians believe this. From the beginning of the Christian faith, it was always the miracle of the virgin birth. And sadly, the Quran says that Mary had the baby Jesus under the palm tree. No. No, no, no. Where was she born? We know the story, right? Where was he born? In a manger, right? Who showed up? The wise men, yes. What did they bring? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. At the break, ask me why. They were angels. See, many times we'll sit down with a Muslim friend, we forget, they don't know. And so instead of arguing and making them feel bad, spend time. Hey, let's talk about Christmas. Let's talk about Christmas. Trinity, most Muslims think it's three gods. One guy said to me, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. I said, you're right, but 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. And he said to me, what do you mean? I said, you're using human measurement on something that's divine. You cannot do that. I can't put the ocean in this. I can't say, God, I want to put you under the microscope. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 is amazing. Hebrews says, God who spoke through many prophets and through many ways, you know, opened the Red Sea to Moses. In these last days, he spoke through his son Jesus. So for us, God speaks, he has revelation, and Christ is the ultimate revelation. I was speaking in Redondo Beach, California. We did a one-day seminar, about 300 people, how to witness to Muslims. At the lunch break, there was a reporter from the Orange County Register. She was an Indian reporter, the dot, not the feather. So she wanted to meet with me over lunch. And she said to me, why are you asking Muslims to read the Bible? I said, I'm asking Christians to read the Quran and Muslims read the Bible. What's wrong with that? Why can't we learn about each other's religion? What's wrong with that? She was a Hindu and she was like, that's true. I said, why can't we just have an open conversation? Do Christians worship three gods? By the way, I wrote a book called Do Christians Worship Three Gods? We don't worship three gods. So the whole idea is it's important. Take these things, and we did a YouTube clip that you can watch and you can download on your Facebook. And see if it works. I think you'll like it.
Water is needed for life. H2O is the chemical formula for water. Three atoms making one molecule. Two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom forming one molecule. Wherever you find water, you find H2O. Whether you find it in solid, liquid, or vapor, it's the same formula, H2O. We sometimes can understand how taking one atom or even adding an atom changes the whole substance. Likewise, God's nature is divine. It's above our reason. It's not against our reason, but it's above our reason. We humans cannot completely understand and comprehend the nature of our Creator. He might reveal His nature to us, but we cannot completely comprehend it. And Tawheed in Islam means oneness of God. Muslims say that they worship one God, and the oneness of God meaning one God. Not three, not four, not five. However, in Christianity, we have also a Tawheed. Our Tawheed is the oneness of God, but it's a complex one, not a simple one. You might ask the question, who existed first, God, His Word, or His Spirit? Some might say, oh, God existed first, but that doesn't make sense, because this means He existed without His Word or His Spirit. God, from the beginning of time to the end of time, always existed with His Word. God's Word became Jesus. God's Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Some might say, well, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. I say 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. No human effort, no human measurement can completely comprehend God's nature and God's character. God revealed Himself in the Bible and ultimately through Jesus Christ. We are not expected to completely comprehend the nature of God, but we are expected to experience His revelation and enjoy Him forever.
So when you share scripture with your Muslim friend, your Muslim friend might say the Bible has been corrupted. Great. You want them to say that. In every conversation, you want your Muslim friend to say to you that the Bible, the Injil, has been changed. I want their ears to hear what they just said. Okay, I'm preparing you for the second session, so you come back. Okay, the other one is crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. If Christ was a prophet sent by God, he should win and not lose by dying. See, you have to remember, in Islamic history, Muhammad comes back, destroys the idol, take over Mecca, and converts Arabia to Islam. So the idea of Muhammad is from God because he won. You telling me that Jesus, the prophet, dies because the Jewish people surrendered him and the pagan Romans kill him? So how can that happen? And then Muslims interpret the Quran, say that Christ was not really killed, but taken up to heaven. Although there are two Quranic verses that say that Jesus died and rose from the dead. Okay, thank you. I'll be here. You can ask me any questions till the next session.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.